Welcome to Discovering the Jewish Jesus. I'm your host, Dustin Roberts, and for the next 25 minutes, Rabbi Schneider is going to continue our study on the Passover feasts. Many people believe that Jesus was a historical figure, that he lived and he died, but not everyone knows why. And today, Rabbi Schneider is going to remind us why it's important for us to share our belief in Jesus' resurrection with the world. It's an eye-opening lesson on the third of God's seven biblical feasts. And if you'd like to take notes on today's study, you can find Rabbi's study guide online at discoveringthejewishjesus.com. But now with our message simply titled, First Fruits, here is Rabbi Schneider.
In the Old Testament, in the Torah, the Lord gives us his calendar in the book of Leviticus, chapter number 23. And he says that I have appointed days, and these days are perpetual statutes. These appointed days of the Lord, these appointed days of Yahweh, which is God's sacred name, had application not just for the children of Israel in the initial historical context, but they also have application today for us, whether you're a Jew or a Gentile, because Jesus has brought all these days, beloved, to their ultimate fulfillment. And each one of these sacred holidays speaks to us of the ministry of Messiah Jesus. And today we're going to be making specific application to the Feast of First Fruits and how it relates to our life today. Let me begin by simply inviting the Lord's presence into our hearts today. Father God, we worship you and we bless you. And Father, I pray that you would take my mouth now and use it, Lord, as a vehicle and a channel to communicate your spirit and your truth and your words to your people. And that, Father, you would supernaturally transform us by your word. Father, your word is truth. Transform us into the image and likeness of your Son, Messiah Jesus, for it's in his name and for your glory that we ask and pray. Amen and amen. Now, I shared with you how Jesus was crucified to the day on Passover because he's the ultimate fulfillment of it. And then we moved on from Passover to cover the feast, beloved, of unleavened bread. Jesus was crucified on Passover, but he was buried on unleavened bread. Jesus fulfills unleavened bread, beloved, by, listen, being the one that was perfectly obedient. And as a result of him being the perfectly obedient one that was crucified and buried for us, you and I, beloved, have a sacrifice for our sin. You see, Jesus died on the cross for us as the unblemished Lamb of God. And then he was buried, beloved, as the one that was perfectly obedient by becoming obedient unto the point of death. So that the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, at the name of Jesus the Messiah, every knee will bow and tongue confess that he alone is Lord. The reason that the Feast of Unleavened Bread is associated with obedience is because the Lord told the children of Israel in the Torah that he was about to call them out of the land of Egypt on the night of their deliverance. And he said to them, when you hear me call you, if you're in the middle of baking bread and that bread has not yet arisen, it has not yet leavened, don't wait for it to rise. Don't wait for it to leaven. You obey me instantaneously and obediently and be perfectly obedient to my word. And that's what Jesus was for us. He was perfectly obedient to the word of the Father through his entire life. And it's for this reason that he could become the substitute for our sin. He was the innocent one dying on behalf of you and I, the guilty ones. Now we're moving on today from there. We've looked at the death of Jesus associated with Passover. We've looked at the burial of Jesus associated with the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the perfectly obedient one dying and being buried on our behalf. But it doesn't stop there, of course. It stops, beloved, or I should say it begins with the resurrection. Because Jesus not only was crucified on Passover and buried in unleavened bread, but get this, he was raised, beloved children of God, to the day on the feast that the Lord gave the children of Israel in the book of Leviticus called the Feast of First Fruits. We're going to begin today by going to the book of Leviticus, chapter number 23, beginning in verse number 10. Speak to the sons of Israel and say to them, when you enter the land which I'm going to give you and reap its harvest, then you shall bring in the sheaf of the first fruits of your harvest to the priest. He shall wave the sheaf before the Lord for you to be accepted. On the day after the Sabbath, the priest shall wave it. Now, let's take this verse apart a little bit because I know on first reading, it might be like you feel a little bit lost. I understand that. So let's go through it again slowly, and then I'll make application. Again, we're looking at all these feasts prophetically. Who wrote this? Who wrote the scripture that we just read in Leviticus? This was recorded by Moses. You know what Jesus said about Moses in John chapter 5? Jesus said, Moses wrote of me. That all these feasts that Moses wrote of, beloved, are ultimately fulfilled in Messiah Jesus. They are prophetic shadows of him and his ministry. So let's go through this again, understanding that when Moses wrote this, although it had application to the children of Israel at the time, in this case, it related to their agricultural lifestyle. But more than that, it was a prophetic word casting, beloved, upon the ministry and person of Messiah Jesus. In fact, these feasts were called in Leviticus chapter number 23, Mikrah. And one of the meanings, one of the colors of the Hebrew word Mikrah means a rehearsal. And so these feasts were rehearsals for something greater that was coming. And that greater that was coming is Messiah Jesus, was Messiah Jesus and his ministry. Just like at a wedding rehearsal, right? You go to a wedding rehearsal and that rehearsal is a rehearsal for the main event that's coming. And so it was with these feasts. They were rehearsals for the main event being Messiah's coming in his ministry. Let's take a look at that now with those words in mind. Verse number 10, speak to the sons of Israel and say to them, when you enter the land which I'm going to give you and reap its harvest, then you shall bring in the sheaf of the first fruits from the harvest to the priest. And he shall wave the sheaf before the Lord for you to be accepted. Let's think about this. Here was Israel. This was the first of the agricultural feast in the spring. And so what the Lord was telling the children of Israel through Moses was, in the spring, when you get the first fruit of your harvest, I want you to take that first sheaf of the first fruit of the harvest in the spring. I want you to bring that sheaf to the priest. And then I want the priest to wave it before me for you to be accepted. Now, let's dissect this. In the wintertime, you could say the earth looks dead. I mean, the flowers aren't out like they are in the spring. The color isn't there. The life isn't there. The vegetation isn't there. But suddenly, that earth that looked dead in the winter, as the spring comes, that earth is resurrected to life. And suddenly these beautiful flowers begin to come forth from the ground. That which was gray and dead looking suddenly begins to sprout blues and purples and yellows and oranges. And suddenly that earth that looked dead now is alive. It's full of color. It's like the earth has been resurrected from the dead. And similarly, this feast, beloved, is a shadow of Messiah's resurrection, because even as the priest brought in the first fruit from the harvest that spring, so Messiah was raised in the spring as the first fruit of those that will rise from the dead. And if Messiah is the first fruit, that means there must be a second fruit, a third fruit, a fourth fruit, and et cetera, and et cetera. And you and I, beloved, are those second, third, fourth, et cetera fruits that will rise from the dead. And why? Because the first fruit has been raised to the Lord, even as that priest took the Israelites' first sheaf and waved it before the Lord. And because that first sheaf had been presented to the Lord, the rest of the harvest, beloved, became accepted and sanctified and holy before the Lord. So Messiah then is the first sheaf, the first fruit of those that rise from the dead. He ascends to the Father, presents himself to the Father on our behalf. The Father accepts him as the perfect first fruit, the first sheaf. And because Messiah is accepted and he's the head of the whole harvest, his whole harvest now, which is you and I and everyone else that is accepted before him, just as the rest of the harvest was now accepted during the time of ancient Israel.
You're listening to Discovering the Jewish Jesus, and Rabbi will be right back. If you're looking to better equip yourself in your study, pursuit, and growth in Jesus the Messiah, be sure to go online and explore our treasury of Messianic content. You'll find Messianic teaching tools and videos, information about God's 7 annual feasts, the Hebrew names, titles of God, and so much more. This content is ready and available for you today online at discoveringthejewishjesus.com. Just as this program has been a blessing to you, you can multiply the blessing with others. It's simple when you become a monthly partner. Give a financial gift of any amount today or set up your monthly automated gift by calling this number, 800-777-7835. That's 800-777-7835. Or you can visit discoveringthejewishjesus.com when you give your equipping others for Jesus' return. And now, here is Rabbi Schneider.
Now let's continue. I want to point out one other element that's important for you. This has to do with, when did this happen? What was the day that this happened? Listen very closely. Speak to the sons of Israel and say to them, when you enter the land which I'm going to give you and reap its harvest, then you shall bring in the sheaf of the first fruits of your harvest to the priest, and he shall wave the sheaf before the Lord for you to be accepted. On the day after the Sabbath, the priest shall wave it. The Sabbath is on Saturday, Friday night at sunset through Saturday. What's the day after Saturday? Sunday, the first day of the week. What day did Yeshua rise from the dead? The day after the Sabbath, Sunday, right? The first day of the week. So I hope that you're beginning to see and get excited about how the Torah and the Hebrew Bible was a shadow of Messiah Jesus. This is why Yeshua said, beloved one, in Matthew 5, 17 and 18, "Do not think I've come to abolish the law and the prophets, for I've not come to abolish, but to fulfill," or fill the law and the prophets up with meaning. What I want to do now is take you on a quick survey through the principle of the resurrection, beloved, in the Old Testament, what we call in Hebrew the Tanakh. Let's, for example, begin by looking at the book of Hebrews and show you how the book of Hebrews ties the resurrection of Yeshua, who has become the first fruit of those that have been raised from the dead, how this was actually foreseen all the way back with Abraham offering up his son Isaac. Hear the word of God as I read from Hebrews chapter 11, verses 17 through 19. "By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he who had received the promises was offering up his only begotten son. It was he to whom it was said, 'In Isaac your descendants shall be called.'" Listen to this now, verse 19. "He considered that God is able to raise people even from the dead, from which he also received him back as a type." So once again, we're seeing from the very beginning in primitive form, there was this faith in the resurrection of the dead. Back during the time of Jesus, we had two primary groups of religious leaders. We had the Pharisees and the Sadducees. The Pharisees believed in the resurrection of the dead, but the Sadducees that we also read about in the New Testament did not believe in the resurrection of the dead. Let's continue on looking at the principle of the resurrection in the book of Psalms. Psalms chapter 16, verse number 8 through 10. "I have set the Lord continually before me, because he is at my right hand, I will not be shaken. Therefore, my heart is glad and my glory rejoices. My flesh also will dwell securely." And why is all this? Listen. "For you will not abandon my soul to Sheol, nor will you allow your Holy One to undergo decay." And this verse is actually quoted in the New Testament that David saw that the Messiah would be raised from the dead. And because the Messiah would be raised from the dead, David knew that he too would be raised from the dead and that he would not undergo decay. All the way back, beloved, to the Hebrew Bible, do we see faith in the resurrection of the dead. Continuing on, I want you to see in the book of Leviticus, chapter 23, 5, 6, 10, and 11, we see in prophetic form there the death, burial, and resurrection of the Messiah. The death in Passover, the burial in unleavened bread, and the resurrection, once again, we're looking at the resurrection in the Feast of First Fruits. Now, moving into the New Testament, I want to bring some primary verses out speaking to us about the resurrection and the implications that has on our life today. First of all, I'm going to the book of 1 Corinthians, beginning in chapter 15. And I want to read now verse number 1-4. Paul speaking, he says, "Now I make known to you, brethren, the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received, in which you also stand, by which you are also saved, if you hold fast the word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins," there's Passover, "according to the scriptures, he was buried," verse number 4, "there's unleavened bread, and that he was raised on the third day." There's the Feast of First Fruits, all shown to us in primitive prophetic form in the 23rd chapter of the book of Leviticus. Here's the point that I really want to stress and make real to you today. The resurrection of Yeshua HaMashiach, of the Lord Jesus Christ, is an actual historical fact. You see, many people that sit in churches all over the world, they say they believe in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, but they believe it like it's a fairy tale. I want you to understand, beloved one, this is no fairy tale. This is rooted in actual history. This is the historical, factual things that the apostles of the New Testament witnessed with their own eyes. Let's look at this for a second, this phenomenon, as we continue the book of 1 Corinthians 15, speaking of Paul's words. This is what he says about the resurrection of Jesus. "He appeared to Cephas, then to the 12. After that, he appeared to more than 500 brethren at one time." And Paul said, "Most of them remain until now." And then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles. And last of all, Paul said, "He appeared to me as one untimely born." He said that after Yeshua was raised from the dead, he appeared to Cephas, to Peter. Then he appeared to all 12 disciples. Then Paul said, he appeared to 500 people all at the same time, a crowd of people. And Paul said, most of those 500 are still alive today. And then Paul said, and last of all, he appeared to me. Jesus, beloved, has historically and factually and really been raised from the dead. Paul goes on to say, if Jesus wasn't in actual history raised from the dead, he said, then you and I are the biggest fools on the earth for giving our lives to something as Christians that isn't real. Paul is so strong on this point. He's so dogmatic about it. He said, if the historical resurrection of Jesus isn't a historical, factual reality, he said, then you and I are fools for believing something that's just a fairy tale. And he said, even beyond that, we're liars because we're telling people that God did something that he didn't do if Jesus wasn't raised from the dead. And John said this, that which I have seen, that which I have touched. I'm going to 1 John now, chapter 1. He said, what was from the beginning? He said, what we have heard, what we have seen with our eyes, what we have looked at and touched with our hands, we proclaim to you. Peter writes in the book of 2 Peter, chapter 1, verse 16 through 21. Listen to this carefully. For we did not follow cleverly devised tales when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For when he received honor and glory, he's speaking here, beloved one, when he was on the Mount of Transfiguration with Jesus, and Jesus was literally transformed before them into a spirit being of light. And then Peter heard the voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved son, listen to him. Peter said, this isn't a fairy tale. Peter said, I was with him when it happened. I saw it. Listen again. He said, we are not following cleverly devised tales when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For when he received honor and glory from God the Father, such an utterance as this was made to him by the majestic glory, this is my beloved Son with whom I'm well pleased. He said, we ourselves heard the utterance made from heaven. He said, we were with him on the holy mountain when it happened. Beloved, I want you to know, Jesus is real. He was made alive from the dead and raised for you. Jesus loves you. And if you have not surrendered your life completely to him, now is the time to do it. Get down on your knees, beloved one. Just fall before him and say, Jesus, save me. Come into my life and make me alive.
You're listening to Discovering the Jewish Jesus, and our Bible teacher is Rabbi Schneider. We've been learning more about God's appointed times, and on the Jewish calendar, in the year that Jesus died, the Feast of First Fruits was on the first day of the week, which was a Sunday. But this year, the feast begins at sunset on Friday, April the 7th, and ends at nightfall on Saturday, April the 8th. And these biblical feasts paint such a deep and rich picture of God's love for us. But sadly, not a lot of believers know about these special set-apart days. And if that's you, we'd love for you to learn more when you visit us online. You'll find a treasury of messianic content when you go to discoveringthejewishjesus.com. And now let's hear from Rabbi Schneider once again.
Beloved, this principle of first fruits that we've looked at today really is a dynamic that should be functioning in all our lives in every dimension. In other words, Father has always called us to give Him our first, the first of our time, the first of our talent, and the first of our treasure. Jesus is the first fruit of those that have risen from the dead, and we want to live our lives putting Him first. Jesus said, "Seek first the kingdom of God, and everything else should be added unto you." I want to ask you today, during this Feast of First Fruits, if you believe in me, if you believe that God is reaching the world through this ministry, would you offer Him today an awesome first fruit offering through this ministry? Thank you. God bless you, and shalom.
To give a financial gift today, simply go online to discoveringthejewishjesus.com or call us at 800-777-7835. You can also partner with us by donating through the Rabbi Schneider app. Just click on the donate button in the middle of the home screen and then follow the simple instruction on the screen. We're truly so grateful for every single gift that we receive. And it's because of your generous and faithful giving that we're reaching people all over the world. Discovering the Jewish Jesus is broadcasting in almost every country around the world, including Israel, and thousands of people are being discipled every single year. So thank you very much. As our way of saying thank you for your financial gift, we'll send you a CD of Rabbi Schneider's Message of the Month, and it's also available as a digital download. In addition, we'll make sure that our current newsletter that's filled with ministry updates and special holiday announcements and so much more is sent directly to your home. And for those who choose to partner with us on a monthly basis, we'll send you an additional token of appreciation, an authentic shofar that's been handcrafted in Israel. It's a gorgeous instrument and reminder that we need to keep God's set-apart times and seasons at the forefront of our minds. Thank you for sharing this half hour with us today. Now here is Rabbi Schneider with a special blessing as we close out our study on the Feast of First Fruits.
The Aaronic blessing in the book of Numbers, chapter 6, is not a blessing that comes from an impersonal being out there somewhere in the heavens. This special blessing comes from a person, Yahweh, God Almighty, our Creator and Maker. So receive God's blessing into your life right now.
Yavarechecha Yahweh, vayishmarecha. Ya'er Yahweh p'nav elecha v'hunecha. Yisa Yahweh p'nav elecha ve'asem lecha. Shalom.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift you up with His countenance, and the Lord give you, beloved one, His peace. God bless you, and shalom.
If you'd like more information about Discovering the Jewish Jesus, visit our website at discoveringthejewishjesus.com. You'll find our broadcast schedule, teaching notes, and so much more.
I'm Dustin Roberts, and Discovering the Jewish Jesus is a production of Shalom Ministries. Join us again when Rabbi Schneider explains why we should stay away from the words that defile. Be listening Friday on Discovering the Jewish Jesus.